So we're in Acts for 12 weeks. We do have a reading plan. We're going to read every week, and it's a little different than Romans. Romans was one chapter. We're stepping up the game. Now you're going two chapters. Some weeks, three. You got 7 days, all right? So we're in Acts 1 and 2, and so we're really talking about this word movement because this is not a Life Community Church thing. This is a body of Christ thing. This is us as the church being the movement and being the church. This is the prayer when we read the book of Acts. God, how are we supposed to be? How is it we're supposed to be living in a culture where things are kind of crazy? This is not new to the first church. They lived when it was crazy too. Okay, so as you're reading Acts, as you're reading the Bible, this is a reminder that as you read, you're saying things to yourself or you're journaling things like this. What does this mean for me today? What does this mean for me in 2021? What does this mean for me as I'm reading this? Who's the audience? What's the time like? What's the culture like? Those are all good questions to be asking as you're reading the Bible. A movement is just defined as just a group of people working together to advance an idea or a cause. And so we're just the movement, and the movement is Jesus. And so we're advancing the cause or the idea of who Jesus is and what Jesus offers. It's a relationship with Jesus. It's not religion. It is a relationship that you and I get to have with Jesus. And then the game changer of what happens when Jesus transcends and he sends us this gift. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is the game changer. The game changer is, how do 12 individuals, one who had left and committed suicide in Judas, how do now 11 individuals and other followers who cowered when Jesus died on the cross to now are boldly declaring in front of thousands and councils the boldness of who Jesus is, who Jesus was, and what Jesus offers? How do they have this boldness? And it only comes down to the power of the Holy Spirit, which Acts 1:8 talks about, and I am way ahead of myself. I promise in 11, I will not do that. Matthew 28:16 says this. Pastor Mike Plain read this last week, so appreciate him and his wisdom and his beard and all that kind of stuff. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. That's obedience. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, I'm going to tell you, so I've been reading this book, and I highly encourage it. I like to highlight books that I'm reading, and this one is called The Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. He also has The Emotionally Healthy Leader, The Emotionally Healthy Church. There's a theme there, and he makes some pretty good statements. Never have I read a book that has resonated or confirmed a lot of things that God has just been speaking in my own life, so it's this great, cool moment that I'm having, this divine moment, and some of which has brought me to this place as I've read this over the summer. And just church history and the first 1,000 years as the church would get together and talk about differences. And then something happened about 1054 when somebody stepped in and said, you know what, I don't agree with that. I'm going out on my own. And ever since then, the church has split 300,000 times to where we are today. And here's why I believe this. This is not necessarily his conclusion, but I think he would agree. And this is why I believe this, because the church as a whole has been really good at making believers, not very good at making disciples. There's a time in America, and it still might be true, I don't really trust polls, so I don't know this, but at one point, 88% of America believed there was a God, believed there was a higher power. We have been believers. We have been people who want to believe, but the Bible doesn't say go and make believers. It says go and make disciples. For this to be a movement, we have to make disciples and not just believers. Not just men and women who say one thing and do another, but men and women who say, like, listen, I want to go deeper. I want to have an experience, and I want to continue to have an experience. I don't want this to be a one-time thing. And at one point, all we were concerned about was getting people to an altar and not doing life with them. And so we counted things like 500 people got saved. Well, that's awesome. How many were discipled? Where did they go from there? Warm, fuzzy feelings, hair stood up on their, great, that's awesome. Now what? Because for 3 years, 12 men followed Jesus, believing in him, watching him, seeing him do miracles. And when Jesus sat on the cross, they peaced out. They ran. And the growing thing that's happening in the church right now is when things get hard, people throw in the towel and they bail. So we're great. Yep, you believed at one point. I'm tired of the stories of people like, well, I was raised in church and then. No, that's not their fault. You know what fault it is? It's ours as a church. Nobody should be saying that. It should be, I went to college and I experienced Jesus. Not like, well, while they're in college, they're trying to figure some things out. No, stop it. It doesn't have to be that way. Why do we think that, well, they got to find themselves. We'll help them find themselves. Stop throwing them to the wolves and then trying to figure out what happened, what went wrong. We went wrong. We made believers. And when they had a chance to choose, they bailed. I personally believe this is for several reasons. We're surface people. We don't want to go deep. And because of that, we tolerate emotional immaturity and we heighten spiritual maturity. And what that means is we have people who are going through the motions, but emotionally they're immature. And to be the movement, meaning knowing who I am in Christ, and out of that being with Christ, I do. It's being with Jesus. It's doing for Jesus out of my being, knowing who I am in Christ, knowing that I step on a campus. I go, listen, I know who I am. And because I know who I am, I don't have to act that way. I know who I am and I know what God says. So when you say what you say, I disagree with that. And I don't have to agree with it. A movement is someone who is taking action and going, listen, just because you say so doesn't make it true. What does the Word of God say? And this is what I'm basing my life on. And because it's what I'm basing my life on, I'm going to confirm what it is that you're speaking with what God is saying. And if it's wrong, I'm going to say it's wrong. That doesn't make me a Karen. It makes me someone who's standing up for what I believe. And if we would start being the church and being the movement and standing up for what we believe, not out of spite or hatred, but out of being, but out of who we are in Christ, out of what Jesus taught us to be. And because of that, it's done in such a way where people are pointed to Jesus and not to us. This is being the movement. Being the movement is not that it's the pressure is on you. It's being the movement is being with Jesus. This is why this resonates. There's three things I do on a daily basis. And this is not to pat me on the back, because I can tell you when I'm not doing those three things, I'm kind of a tool to be around. Yeah? No? I can't say that? Or no, I'm perfect, everybody. I'm a pastor. Actually, call me congressman, but whatever. Anyway, so three things. Read the Bible, journal, and sit in silence. And I do those three things, not particular order, because I journal, and I journal a lot. I carry a book with me everywhere I go. It's in my backpack everywhere I go, on the field, to meetings, because I like to journal things down. I write out prayers because I don't remember them, so I write them down. And I sit in silence because God doesn't always want to hear me talk. And I need to hear him talk. And out of me being silent, it is the most difficult thing. Like, let's teach this generation to throw, I don't even know where my phone is, to throw their phone away and to sit in silence. And a lot of times, it's in the dark right in this room. Oh, I know. I know. I'm a pastor and I don't do much, so I have plenty of time to do that. Because this isn't very good. And so anyway, so it's not that. It's you're not too busy. Your priorities are just jacked up. You take time for what's important, right? We take time for what is important. And I don't know in this culture if waiting or sitting in silence is important. It's very difficult discipline to do. Start with 2 minutes. Start within 5 minutes and build from there. But sitting in silence and just allowing God to speak to you, allowing what you've read or what you've journaled to meditate on those things. It's a very important thing because it's in that silence, it's in that stillness that we know God. It's in that moment. And listen, and there are days that I don't do it and I'm affected by it. My marriage is affected by it. My relationships are affected by it. I'm shorter with people. I'm a little more harsh with people. Why? Because I've not spent time in that relationship. I'm not being, and instead I'm being Jamie. And when I'm being Jamie, now I do things for the wrong reasons. And when I'm being with Christ, this is why being the movement is so important. It's me figuring out who I am and being who God says I am. And out of that being, I do. Okay? So we have to be the movement. Let's get into Acts. Oh my gosh. Oh my. Okay. Acts 1 says this. Like that literally, all of that was not in my notes. Anyway, so some of you are like, I'm so glad I came to 9 a.m. Second part. 11 a.m. Maybe we should just do that. Like first part, 9 a.m., second part, 11. Anyway. In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And he said this, and he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, and when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is Luke, second part of the book of Luke, him continuing. Luke is a researcher, and he's writing to, many believe, a guy named Theophilus, who he also wrote to in Luke 1, and you can see it in verse 4. He said some of the same things, but a lot of people believe that Theophilus is not a person, it's a group of people. Theophilus means lover of God. And so a lot of people believe that he's writing to people that love God. He's writing to the church. And so he's writing in Luke 1, and he continues this, the book of Luke, in the book of Acts. He is a researcher. He's writing to this group. And you can see in Luke 1, 4, where he says, "He said his purpose was to share the things of Christ so that you may know the certainty of the things that you've been taught." This is what he said. The Amplified says, "My purpose is that you may know the full truth and understand with certainty and security against error the accounts and doctrines of the faith of which you have been informed and in which you have been orally instructed." Luke's point is, I want you to be informed so you can make a decision. He's saying, I want you to be confident in what it is that you know and what it is that you believe. He's letting us know, all you study people, all you people who want a relationship with Jesus, my prayer is that you would read this and understand that you can know with certainty what you believe. Okay, this is what he's saying. And so Luke starts off in this first couple verses, because this is it. To be the movement, we have to be convinced. Now, you got to be convinced that Jesus is the only way. You got to be convinced that there is no other name under heaven which men can be saved. You got to believe that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. That there is no other God. There's not all these other avenues. Jesus is the only way. And this is the difference. This is the difference that the church, to be the movement, has to be convinced that this is the case. Like, this is it. Like, this is the point. This is the reason verse 3 says it. I'm going to read these again in the Amplified, because the Amplified kind of brings in some definition. To them he also showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross, by a series of many convincing demonstrations. Okay? Appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. To convince is to move by argument or evidence or belief, an agreement, a consent. This is what it is. This is the reason Paul said in Romans 4, he said, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. The NLT says he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. This is the point. The point of what is happening in Acts is that this group of individuals were convinced that in the time of coward, in the time when Jesus was being killed, and they ran and they denied him, according to the Bible. Peter denied him 3 times. One, the Bible says, to an 8-year-old girl, like around a fire. Aren't you one of the disciples? No, I don't even know this Jesus you're talking about. He denied. He cowered when it got really difficult. And yet Jesus talks about Peter being this rock, being the church, somebody we're going to build this movement on. And later we see that he's standing in front of all these people, and it says 3,000 people said yes to Jesus the day Peter preached. I mean, just crazy things. Why? Because these men were convinced that Jesus was the only way. Now, I'm going to throw this out there. There are 500 people, according to 1 Corinthians, that Jesus appeared to during this time, and 120 of them were in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came. That means 380 people said, man, this is great. Man, this is awesome. But I don't know this for me. 380 out of 500 people said, you know what? I'm not going to wait. 120 gathered. 120 said, yes. 120 were fully convinced that Jesus was the only way. And what happened? You and I are meeting today because of 120 people. Don't tell me that 120 people can't change the course of history. Don't tell me that 120 people who are fully convinced that Jesus is the only way cannot change a culture. They were convinced. Now, success rate, I mean, that's pretty bad, right? 500, only 120 came. I mean, that does not sound like successful ministry. Verse 4, to be the movement, there has to be provision. Look at verse 4. Being in the company and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. How are you at waiting? No, just curiosity, just to kind of like, how are we at waiting? Is patience a spiritual gift of yours? To me, waiting is the hardest thing. But I also know that waiting on things could be the most beneficial things. And here's the provision of what he said. Listen, go and wait. And in waiting, there is a promise that is coming. There is something that is changing. There is something that is changing in the atmosphere. This promise, this gift, what I'm sending, wait for it, because it is a game changer. This is the reason we put Acts 1:8 on here. Because it's not just provision. It's what he gave us in the Holy Spirit, but we have to participate. See, to be the movement, we have to participate, because this is what Acts 1:8 is saying. You will receive power. The Amplified says, the ability, the efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Like, this is the participation part that you and I have to do to be part of the movement. To be part of the movement, you and I just can't wait. We gotta move. We gotta go. He didn't say, and you'll be my lawyers, or you'll be my arguers, or you'll be this. He says, you'll be my witnesses. Like, there's key things that he's saying in this verse that you and I have to fully grasp, because he didn't say you are going to argue people into the kingdom. It didn't say you're going to drag. He says you're going to witness. You're going to share what has happened to you. Like, that's what happens. I've been on a witness stand in front of a judge, in front of a lawyer, and they ask me as a witness, what is it that you saw? What was it that you experienced? Say that. And if I didn't say it the right way, it's called not good. It's called you're going to jail if you're going to lie about it. He says when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there's going to be a power that moves, his word, power that moves, and it's going to allow you to be a witness for me everywhere that you go. Now, these people had never been outside of the Roman world. So to say Jerusalem, where they were, or Judea, which was the outside, or even Samaria, which was no-no land, and then to throw in and to the ends of the earth. Meaning everywhere you go, your seed, who you are, everywhere, to the United States of America, though it's not even there yet, to the United States of America, you are to be my witnesses so that people come to know who Jesus is. This is the movement, and you and I have to participate in it. You and I have to be fully convinced, but we got to participate in what it is that God's saying, because I can't go where you go, and you can't go where I go. You have an opportunity, wherever it is that you have influenced, to be a witness. This is why being is so important. I can only declare what I've experienced. So be with Jesus, because there is a world that is dying for hope and love and longing for something so much deeper than they even know. And out of your being, out of your experiences, you get to be a witness. And the power of the Holy Spirit is going to give you boldness to be able to declare those things. Because in the inside, on my own, I'm not very vocal. I need the Holy Spirit to do that. This is why he doesn't say, I'm going to give you boldness. He doesn't say that. He uses the word dynamo, which is dynamite, which where we get the word dynamite, and it means power. Whew. Man, this is the game changer. We got to participate. We got to go. And I'll skip this one real quick, but to be the movement, we got to have anticipation. We got to anticipate. What did he say? Men of Galilee, Don't you look up into heaven. You got work to do. You got some work to do. Stop looking up that way and start looking out. Start looking out. Anticipate the anticipation of what is to come. Covering two chapters in 1 week is hard. Acts 2, real quick. Because we got to be the movement, we got to be the church. And this is what Acts 2 talks about. Acts 2, verse 40 says, Peter continued preaching for a long time. That's pretty awesome. Anybody else? No? That not fun? Then Peter continued preaching. We might as well replace that name with somebody else's. Then Jamie continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. How many services were they holding? All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer, and a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Who did? See, listen, when you get into Acts, disciples is replaced with apostles. That's you. That's us. Amen. He says, listen, it didn't say in the priests, the special ones, those that were called in full-time ministry, those that went to Bible college. It didn't say that. It says, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need, and they worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Two things that these people were. To be the church, we have to be devoted people. It says they were devoted people. Devoted to what? To the scripture, to prayer, to getting together. This is the reason. This is a reason for church and the way we model it. This is the very essence of why we do small groups, the very essence of why we get together, the very essence why we eat meals together, the very essence of why we pray together, all because it's in Acts 2. To be the church, we gotta be devoted. And it's super easy to say, and it's very difficult to live it. It says they were devoted to these things. I'll allow you to look up what the word devoted means, what it means to be devoted. Listen, in an hour, you guys, where so much is changing, so much is happening in our world, what I've learned in the last 2 years of my life is what really matters. What really matters in this life? What really matters? And what I do and how I am and who I spend my life with. And it says in this moment, what these men and women had discovered, that they had been with Jesus for 3 years. And by being with Jesus, they learned so much. But now the Holy Spirit came and they are to participate. It wasn't just watching Jesus anymore. It wasn't just, this is really cool. 5,000 people just ate meals. Like, no longer just calling things cool. At some point, to make disciples, you and I gotta stop just being discipled. At some point, we gotta move beyond the I'm taking from everybody around me, and now I'm devoting my life to the things of God. And by devoting my life, I'm now sharing my life with the people of the next generation. Who are you gonna grab alongside and say, hey, listen, learn from my mistakes. Let me walk with you. You know when you do that? When you have a sense of being with Jesus, you want to do that. It's not making believers, you guys. It's making disciples. And yes, it starts in your home. Yes, it starts with the people around you. And yes, there's going to be moments where you got to be intentional and you see someone, you go, you know what? I want to disciple that young man. They were devoted people. And the Bible also says they were worshiping people. They liked to worship. They were a worshiping people. Not just on Sundays. Everywhere that they went, they were a worshiping people. They were praising God for what he had done. Like, for us to be the church, we got to be devoted, but we got to be worshiping people. This is the movement, you guys. This is the movement. The movement is in this hour of chaos and crazy. We get to step up and give people the hope of the world, which is Jesus. The movement is Jesus. Who we're talking about is Jesus. When people don't know what to say, we just say Jesus. You say what Peter says as he stood in front of the council and said, hey, this Jesus that you crucified, we will not stop talking about him. We're going to continue to talk about him. And no matter what you say to us, we're going to always talk about him because he is the movement and you can't silence us. It's not a political message. It's a message of hope and healing and forgiveness. In this time that we have on earth, and as we're experiencing right now, we don't know the day or the hour, you guys. We don't know. So make the most of every opportunity that we have. This is what the movement is. There's urgency in the movement. There's boldness in the movement. And there's power to watch God move in this movement. Power to watch God move in this movement. Come on, you guys. Would you stand with me today? If we could we just lift up a hand real quick? This is just us saying, God, I surrender my life to you. You can make this prayer. You can say this prayer yourself. This is my prayer. God, I surrender to you today. You are the movement, Jesus. And we're surrendering to you, and we're just saying, Lord, would you do incredible things on the earth? And God, we want to hear your voice. And so we do, we sit. We sit in silence so that we can obey the words that you're speaking to us. We spend time in your word. We're devoted to your word because we want to know what it is that you're saying to us. God, we don't want to be ignorant with the things that we do and say. We want to be led by your Spirit. This is what Pentecost is, being led by your Spirit to move around the earth, hearing your voice, doing what you've asked us to do, being obedient to those things. So that a world who is desperately lost says, I want what you have. I want this Jesus. I want this movement. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would come and you would fill our lives. By your power, by your strength, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in the church, the movement today. It lives in us today. And so we're asking that your Spirit that lives inside of us would manifest on this earth so that men and women would be drawn to you. Not to Life Community Church, not to our small group, but to you. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church, with our hands lifted, can we just declare these words right now? Can we just declare, by your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.